Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Giovanna here. Before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know that today's episode contains discussion around miscarriage. If you prefer, please listen to another episode. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is one-fifth of, well, one of the biggest pop bands of my childhood. He's also a father of two. It is H from Steps. Hello, Ian Watkins. How are you?
Hello. What an introduction. Thank you very much.
I literally had like memories, because I'm not actually recording in my house today. I'm in someone else's house. And I had memories of the drive over here of me literally just stood in front of my mirror singing Tragedy over and over and again, over again, because that CD came with like an instrumental version as like the B track. So that was my childhood right there.
Yeah, it did. And it also, if you remember, it came with instructions how to do the dance moves. We did pictures. So it was like a tutorial.
Yes.
And we did that with every CD.
Yes. But that was brilliant, because I think I drove the rest of my family absolutely bonkers. But I absolutely loved that you could listen to you guys and then try and do it yourselves.
Karaoke version.
Yeah, exactly. How are you? The school run is done. You've got a coffee. Are you feeling nice and relaxed?
Yes. Well, I mean, the kids went back to school yesterday. So it was kind of mixed emotions, really. You know, they started big school.
Oh.
So they go to a Welsh school. And a big school in Welsh is Ysgol Mawr. And that's the first thing they said when they came down yesterday morning. They went, Ysgol Mawr, Ysgol Mawr. So they were super excited. So, yeah, it's mixed emotions today.
How were they going into school yesterday? Were they happy actually at the gates? Or were you happy at the gates?
Again, mixed emotions. One of mine is super confident. So he literally went running in. And the other was a little bit apprehensive because he's not seen his friends for a little while. So my other child Max ran back and he went, don't worry, cubby, I will look after you and I will tell everyone to look after you.
Oh.
And my heart just went, oh.
That's so adorable. Are they always like that together? Because I've got three boys and they go from really being adorable, especially in that sort of situation, but then just bickering a lot of the time as well. I play referee a lot.
I'm not going to fluff it up. I'll say 90% of the time they hate each other.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness, because it's the same for me.
And any parent that disagrees with that, I just do not know what they're doing or what we are doing wrong. I mean, my children, I literally have to police every second. I mean, twins are something very, very different. I mean, I don't have a singleton. So I've never had the luxury of a one-to-one, you know, they have my undivided attention. I can give everything that they need in that moment. I am constantly playing ping pong.
Yeah.
You know, I compare myself to a daddy blue tit, right? So have you seen those bird cam boxes, you know, bird nest boxes?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to call him a daddy bird because that's what I do. So daddy blue tit flies back and forth. He makes sure his children are fed. He makes sure they're warm. He makes sure they're comfortable. He makes sure they have everything that they need. And all they do is... And at the end of the day, that daddy bird is exhausted. He looks like he's been dragged through a bush and he's featherless. And that's what I feel like every day. At the end of every day, I am an exhausted blue tit. That's what I am.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to use that, even though I'm not a man. And obviously you live in Wales and you grew up in Wales. So was it important for you that the boys grew up and had the same sort of childhood that you did?
It's the reason that I moved back. I live half an hour away from my parents.
Right.
And myself and my brothers had an incredible relationship with all our grandparents. And I wanted my children to have that. I wanted, you know, to have them in their lives. And our family unit has got much stronger because of it.
Yeah.
You know, we do things every Sunday. You know, they come down and babysit. They'll take them to swimming lessons for me. And it's just that unbreakable bond now that they'll always have that.
And did you always think that you would have your own family?
It was something I always dreamed of. I always had that paternal instinct, but I never thought it was possible. Yeah. And I tried many different routes before I ended up with... I was going to say these perfect little packages, but they're not perfect.
They're perfectly imperfect.
They're little monsters is what they are.
But I guess growing up when you did, like a young gay man, were there people who were having children who were also gay? So if you didn't see that, if you didn't know that that was even a possibility, for you that must have been looking ahead, not really knowing what that future was going to hold.
Yeah, very much so. I never had, well, there weren't that many gay role models, let alone gay dads. I mean, times have changed very much now. You know, the representation we have, you know, across the board is just incredible. But the only references I had to gay men were, I don't know if you remember, like Larry Grayson, John Inman, Dale Winton. But actually, I don't think they were out loud and proud. They were just very kind of effeminate men that women felt safe watching.
Yeah.
So, he's a lovely boy. Oh, I like that, you know, that Dale Winton. Yeah. But they were never out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never had anybody that I could look up to, especially, you know, because I wanted to be a parent.
Yeah.
When I started looking into fatherhood, I was with somebody at the time, and we actually went down the adoption route. Very, very early on. We're talking maybe 15 years ago now.
Really?
And we went quite far down the process. Never told anybody this, actually. So we went quite far down the process. You know, we did all the training courses. We met with social workers. And it turned out that part of the team that we were working with was actually homophobic. And that's why we never got any further with the process.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was very new. I mean, adoption for same-sex parents was, or gay parents, was very, very new at that point. I think times have changed a lot and people would be called out for that now.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's why we changed course and we opted for surrogacy. And that process was quite, it was a long haul. I mean, wowzers, you know, through lots of heartache.
Well, you started looking into that about 10 years ago. And even in the same sort of thing, like back then... Now there are so many different places you can go to for support, like different communities that you can get advice from. Whereas if you're talking about a decade ago, was there that information to help you find a surrogate, work your way through that whole thing?
Not really. And the only reference when I started to, you know, do a lot of research was David and Elton.
Right.
So they were the only gay parents that I knew. So after, you know, years and years of having meetings with surrogates and agencies. It's a minefield, it's, you know, there's egg donors. I know more about women's menstrual cycles than women's. It's crazy. But, you know, after a long road, we worked with the same team that Elton and David worked with. And then after many, many years of failed attempts, you know, different situations, we ended up with twins.
That's so amazing. And it was quite the journey to get there, because I read that back in 2012, one of your surrogates miscarried as well, which must be... So, I know that you talk through all of that before you even go into the process, but it must be so difficult going into that anyway, when you're so far, you know, you're not with that person who's carrying your child, and you know, you do connect with the baby straight away. Mm-hmm. And it must be a really difficult thing to one day have it and one day it's not there anymore.
It was a very strange situation, a very intense feeling of losing something that you never had.
Yeah.
I can't even explain it. You had something, but it was taken away, but you never had it.
Mm.
That all of those expectations, all of those dreams, you know, all of those wants and needs were taken away in a flash.
Yeah.
And the grieving process didn't hit me until a lot long after. The surrogate, she lost the baby quite late on, and I was on tour at the time. So, and I had to go on stage that night. I think it was Wembley, actually. I texted the guys because it happened late at night, and I remember, you know, they came to my room again, and we were obviously talking it out, and they held my hand so tightly that next show. And I remember that the song that got me was the song that we sing when I said goodbye, and that was literally one of the hardest things I've ever had to sing.
There is also that thing, I think, when you go through it, I mean, it's like you say, it's you didn't have it, but you, all of those dreams that you have going to that point, going to finding out that you are having a baby, they suddenly magnify and this whole new world opens up. And then when that's gone, it's like you don't know what to do with all of that. What was it like going into it again off the back of that? Did you wait, or were you just sort of like, let's just carry on? Because at that point you have to go back and find, you have to go through the whole process of an egg donor. Are you going to use the same surrogate? Are you going to... There are so many more things that you've got to sort out.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we lost the baby quite late on. So, like I said, I didn't deal with that for a good few months afterwards. So we didn't get back on the horse, as it were, straight away. We didn't go into the process again. It was until we'd actually dealt with it and accepted. I was off tour, so I could actually, you know, spend some time on my own and kind of come to the realization of what happened. Then we went, okay, this is the situation. Do we move forward, or are we just content as we are? And we decided to move forward.
Mm.
But like you said, you know, that then that whole process started again. It was, okay, new surrogate, egg donors. And of course, there is the financial implications of it as well, because, you know, there's lots of controversy surrounding surrogacy. But for me, it was the right thing to do. You know, we tried to adopt. It didn't go our way. So this was the next step.
Mm.
And there are so many different elements that are involved in surrogacy. You know, we don't have the right bits that you have.
Yeah.
You know? So we need a little bit of help. And help we got. And, you know, that didn't happen straight away. For me, it was a good 15-year process.
Wow. That's so long. So what was it like when you found out that your surrogate was pregnant with twins?
Well, we knew that there was a possibility of that because we had embryos that were grade A.
Right.
And our super doctor embedded them really, you know, and I've got a video of it happening, you know, of it all. So I've got the actual moment that they were, I guess, conceived.
Yeah.
So, you know, where tadpole met egg.
Yeah.
and actually the moment where they were actually kind of snuggled nicely in the womb as well. So we saw that, but we never knew if that was going to, you know, produce one, two, or none.
Yeah.
And you can tell by, you know, the different levels in the blood, you know, which are taken, you know, so many days afterwards. And we were like, okay, these levels are high. Okay, they're really high. Okay. Have these eggs split into four?
We had a lady on last series, Karina, who'd had triplets. They used two eggs in their surrogate, and they were told that I think it was a 20% chance of twins, and she ended up with triplets.
I mean, wow. I mean, no, I just don't know how you do that. I mean, I'm a single dad now. That was never the plan. But you know what? Life throws things at you and it takes twists and turns. So that's where I am and that's what I'm dealing with. I can't imagine how one person does three little people. I mean, I'm outnumbered as it is. You know, I have two little monsters and I have one hand each. And if I want to pull them up by the ears, I can. You know, but I do not know, especially when they're babies. The early stages, I did all of those night feeds.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. I can't even believe, looking back on it, how did I get through that? I mean, any new parent, you know, especially women, you are machines. You are literally superhuman beings. I don't know how you go through childbirth, sometimes a C-section, you know, all of the postnatal shenanigans, and then deal with night feeds. You know, I did all of the post bit, the pre bit. And I was, oh my God, I used to sit on the floor with my back on the sofa. I'd have them in their car seats and I'd put bottles in both their mouths and I would be crying on my own because my partner at the time was working. He was working away for a long, long time. So I did it. I did everything. Oh my God. Those screams at like 3 in the morning. Oh my goodness me. I you think back on it and don't you, you go, how did I get through that?
Yeah. And it's so raw and it's so messy and it's a scary time almost as well because you feel so out of your depth.
Yeah, and you are in charge of these two little people and you don't know what you're doing. There's no manual. Oh, I actually did read a few manuals. Happy baby, content baby. I was like, threw that out the window. I mean, was it Gina Ford? She can go
Gina
and do
Ford.
One. She can
I
do one.
I think you all read Gina Ford. I read the first chapter and was like, oh no, this isn't going to work.
I threw that and there was a Gina Ford for twins. And then I found afterwards, the woman, he hasn't even got children. I was like, what?
Oh, there what is the whole thing though, isn't it? If you aren't emotionally connected to those children, like it's a very different thing, I think, to kind of walk into a place and go, well, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But unless you're there at 2 o'clock in the morning and you are crying with your child because...
Into a glass of wine.
I mean, the amount of times that Tom came home, because he went on tour straight after we had Buzz, the amount of times that he came home and I'd just be stood in the middle of our bedroom, you know, boobs leaking, everything just hurting and just crying. And we're like, you know, I don't need Gina Ford at that moment. I don't need someone to come in and go, this is what you're doing wrong. I just need someone to scoop me up and help me a bit.
I am a little bit envious of you, not your leaky boobs, but you know, you had somebody to cry on.
Yes, yeah.
But and as a parent, I am as a parent, I've always got one ear open anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The door's always open. I can hear if there's a footstep on, you know, it's a creak on the floorboards. I'm like, brup, brup.
Exactly. And you've got to be because, you know, you are so hyper alert. Was it quite early on that your family dynamic changed? Because that's got to be difficult as well. Going into parenthood after all that time, thinking it was going to look like one thing and then that shifting, that must have been a tough one to kind of, I guess it's a mindset as well, isn't it? Kind of going, well, this is the reality now and I am going to be doing it on my own.
Yeah, I mean, the family dynamic pretty much changed straight away, but it's hard to deal and accept anything like that because you're in the middle of a tornado.
Chaos. Yeah.
And you don't have time to grieve or you don't have time to reflect on the loss. You just have to deal with the now.
Yeah.
So I threw myself into my children, into, you know, nappies 3 times a night, you know, midnight feeds, dream feeds, you know, all of that stuff. I guess all of these terms most dads wouldn't really know about, that I know of anyway, because I have a fantastic circle of parent mum friends, and I'm the only dad in that group. You know, in the school WhatsApp group, I'm the only dad in that group.
Oh,
you know,
I've made them put the dads in because I'm a bit like, I'm not the only one organising our lives. Like, they need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that, there's great text and they're like, don't forget PE kit tomorrow, you know, homework tomorrow, pound tomorrow because it's Red Clothes Day, you know. All of that stuff.
So, H, take me back to the birth. What was that like, meeting your sons for the first time?
My goodness. Okay, so my children were born in California.
Oh, wow.
Yep, so my surrogate was from San Francisco.
Yep.
And the reason that... So basically, surrogacy and the laws surrounding surrogacy are very different in California. So from literally 3 months in the womb, we could be classed as parent one and parent two from that time. And the laws are very different over here.
Yeah.
So just for my peace of mind, I wanted to do it that way.
Yeah.
So I went out at 38 weeks. And I was there on a 2-week holiday. I was like, right, this is the only holiday I'm going to have. At the time, my partner was working. So I went out for a 2-week and I booked, you know, a beautiful apartment. I had the works and I thought, you know what, I'm going to enjoy this. I got there and that evening I had dinner with my surrogates and the agency. We'd become great friends.
Yeah.
And I'm still great friends. You know, we text daily, you know, with our surrogate. So had dinner, great, kiss goodbye, lovely. Went back to the apartment and I was asleep. And I'd taken, and melatonin, because I thought, right, I'm going to get over this jet lag. I'm going to take a little melatonin. And then at 3 a.m, I had like banging on my door, literally bang, 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 bang. And I was literally like, what the hell is going on? I'd looked at my phone, I had like 30 missed calls. opened the door, your wife is having a baby.
Well, you must have been like, who am I?
I don't have a wife. I was like, shit. So then it was literally like a Hollywood movie. So I was like, oh, literally like dressing frantically, headed out the door, tried to get a cab. The cab took me to the wrong hospital.
No.
Yeah, took me to the wrong hospital. I was like, yes! Okay, bombed it back out of the hospital, got another cab, got to the right hospital. I literally walked in reception. They beeped me for security. I walked into a robe, into a room, and my children were born. It was literally
bish, bash, bash. Oh my gosh.
But of course, I was on my own.
Yes.
And my partner at the time was expected to fly out 2 weeks later.
Oh my gosh.
Ready for the birth.
Yes.
So I was on my own in a foreign country with two little people going, what do I do? I was literally stranded with these defenseless little blobs.
So what do you do from that point? So once the babies have been born, did they stay in hospital for a little while?
It's very different in America. So we are very blessed in this country with the NHS.
Yeah.
That's obviously everything is covered. But in America, which I quickly learned, everything is private healthcare.
And billed. You'd like an app? Yes. We'll bill you for it.
all of that stuff. Yeah. And that is a bit of a minefield. But luckily I had all of the insurances in place before I went out there. I had a great company that advised me. but it was literally, the quicker you get out of the hospital, the cheaper it will be for you. Because it cost literally thousands of pounds a night to stay in a hospital bed.
Oh my gosh.
I remember my children were born and 2 hours later, I was sat on a bed. I was sleeping in a bed with the incubator next door to me. And I had a knock on the door for me to go downstairs and pay my bill. Because they thought I was going to be a runner in the night. I was like, what do I do?
Oh my gosh. And also, how do you go downstairs when you've got twins there?
Exactly. Well, I mean, they have security and everything on the wards anyway. But I was left literally in the middle of a different country on my own with two little people going, fuck.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So how long were you over there for?
I think it was about a week in total. Like I said, it's a blur now.
Oh, not that long?
No, not at all. It was about a week because I'd lined all of my ducks up ready to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thankfully. I mean, gosh. Yeah, crazy, right?
I mean, what was the flight like? Can you remember the flight at home or is that completely like
I remember the attendants, they were literally showering Prosecco and champagne because mean, maybe they felt sorry for us. I don't know. But I remember going to, you know, the toilet with two little people going, straight away you become a multitasker.
Yeah.
You can literally have one baby in a sling. You can change one and then you kind of put one there, you flop one out, put it back in and then change the other. You just become a master. You know, you become an octopus.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Before going into it, you'd have that thing of how on earth am I going to do that? But actually you find your own methods.
Yeah, and like I say, so I'm a single dad. So if I go to a coffee shop in my village, you know, I live in a really kind of close-knit community. Everybody knows everybody. So I would go to a coffee shop. Every morning I would make a point of getting out because I couldn't be one of these parents that stayed in and went crazy within four walls.
Yeah.
So every morning before 9 o'clock, I didn't know where I was going, I would go out. So I would generally go to, you know, the park. I'd go to a coffee shop. So I'd go to a friend's house. I'd do anything rather than stay inside mm-hmm. and go crazy with screams. So I would go to a coffee shop and there would be literally strangers in my village. And I would go, can you hold a baby while I go to the toilet?
Yeah.
And I knew they were safe. So it's not like I'm, you know, giving them to somebody that would run off.
Yeah.
But my children from day one have been totally socialized, which is why they're brilliant little people now. You know, they've never been clingy. They're cutchy and, you know, they love their dad, but they are so confident in themselves. They're beautifully rounded little people that they will go into any situation and just, you know, and dive in. Yeah. And I love that.
Ah, another thing that you juggle is your workload. So as a single parent as well of twins, how do you navigate that?
It's a little trickier now because, you know, my children are in full-time education.
They've got a place to be,
Whereas before, I took them on our last tour.
Oh.
And it was lovely, actually. You know, I took some help with me because when I'm on stage, obviously, I need somebody to, you know, to look after my children. So it was magical. It was great. I mean, I'm sure, you know, yours have gone on tour with Tom, right?
Yeah, yeah. But what was it like for you seeing your kids watching or knowing that they were taking it
they
in?
They're at the age now where they will understand.
Yeah.
But I used to take my boys to sound check and then the lighting department would, you know, flash, you know, lasers or flashing lights on the stage. So it was almost like a multi-century place at the O2, you know. Brilliant. And then the girls were like again herding sheep so they didn't fall off the edge of the stage, you know, so we could do our sound check with my kids. It was beautiful. And one of my best memories, actually, I've done, you know, lovely things in my career, things I'm so proud of. But the memory that sticks out is when all of our children joined us on stage at Wembley and we sang It's the Way You Make Me Feel. And it will top any memory in the whole of my career.
Aww.
It was just mind-blowing. Just to share that with our families, it was just incredible.
Do you think they understand what you do, that that's your job?
They think I'm an ice skater. Because that's the only thing that I've done is dancing on ice that they've... And I don't, you know, brainwash them with 5, 6, 7, 8 or Tragedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing they've seen me do is dancing on ice.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
They're at the age now where they can actually... So they'll come to a few concerts and I think they'll be a bit overwhelmed by it. They'll be a bit like, ooh... They've seen me on the television before. Say I'm doing, you know, This Morning or Lorraine.
Yeah.
My parents will have them at my house and they'll film the boys watching me on TV. And so I've taught my children to, if I'm speaking, they say, excuse me, daddy. So, and they were shouting at the TV, excuse me, daddy, excuse me, daddy. You're not listening. You're not talking back to me, daddy. Excuse me, daddy. Because I wasn't answering them back.
That's so cute. Aww.
How old is Buzz now? He's the oldest one, right?
Yeah, he's 7.
And he gets what daddy does, right? Or does he think it's cool?
He's got a guitar around his neck. He's always playing. Like, he idolises Tom so much. But, you know, our kids, they go through stages where we realise that they really don't get that not everyone is on TV or not everyone, mm-hmm. you know, does what we do. There is definitely a bit of that, but... I'm in the lucky position, I guess, because I get to watch them watch Tom, whereas Tom doesn't get to see, and you won't get to see your children's reactions. But it is incredible
All of our kids are very privileged, you know, to be part of this world. You know, and I constantly, you know, say things, you know, my children, hopefully, touch wood, will never want for anything emotionally, you know, or in any other way. But I will constantly remind them, you know, lots of boys don't have lovely things. You know, lots of boys can't go to trampoline parks.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they do say back to me, we're very lucky. And Cappy said the other day, Daddy, do you think some boys and girls would like toys in our playroom? Because we have a lot. And I was like, you know, things like that, you know, the little seeds that you plant, you know, the little things that you drip feed.
Yeah.
You know, they take root and they're growing. And I've got goosebumps thinking. I'm so proud of them.
Well, the other thing that you do that you won't have had growing up is they're a massive part of, you take them to Pride with you and they're a massive part of that. What is it like being at something like Pride and having your beautiful boys with you who, you know, decades ago, it would have been something that you didn't even think was possible?
Oh, my goodness me. I mean, for me, as an out, proud gay man, to attend an event like that with my children is, you know, it's something I would never have thought could happen.
Mm.
Prides now are all-inclusive events. They have huge family areas where they, you know, they teach about LGBTQI plus families. You know, if there is a child that's maybe identifying in a different way, you know, there's help and support there. There's help and support for families. So it's not all about, you know, dancing your best life to Kylie. You know, it's not. You know, it's all inclusive. And my kids just love, you know, the ribbons and the rainbow flags and the balloons. Oh, they love it.
It's so good. I mean, your mind when you're there, it must just be, there must be moments that are quite emotional for you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, after everything I've been to, you know, to get my children here, I carry them proudly on my back, you know, in their backpacks, and they're waving their flags. They adore it. I love it.
So cute. And are you happy that you've, you know, you're back in Wales? Do you see that have they always lived in Wales or have they been with you somewhere else?
Yeah, from day dot, yeah.
So it must just be lovely. Nature, because you post a lot of the boys out and about, you know, and I feel like that is such a beautiful way to live, to have that space.
I'm very lucky that I have, you know, a big garden. And during lockdown, that absolutely, oh my God, that was my saviour. I mean, we were out every day.
Mm.
I mean, I'm creative, but I got very inventive. There wasn't a toilet roll left in my village. You know, we made binoculars. You know, they're incredible things. You know, spaceships out of cardboard boxes. You know, we made giant bubbles out of bamboo sticks and laces. You know, I became very inventive and oh my gosh, we had such a good time. I learned a lot about myself and my children throughout lockdown, you know, coping mechanisms, ways to remember the good times. Actually, what I did, so I did this many, many years ago, and I did it so I wouldn't forget, and my children will eventually know. So I set up email accounts for my children, and they will have the passwords when they're older.
Yeah.
But every significant event, first day of school, a birthday, maybe they got a star for being good.
Oh.
I've taken a picture and I've written a little note underneath it and I've emailed their accounts.
Oh.
And they can open that up, you know, when they're 18 or maybe when they get married or, you know, when the time is right. So they can see
their
not
lives.
What I went through, because I've not been so truthful that it hurts, but I've, you know, I've used phrases like, you were spirited this day. You were very busy yesterday.
They say one of my friends is a school teacher and she says there are certain words that are used in reports and stuff that mean things like that. And I'm like,
there you
okay,
go. The subtext is you were a little dick.
Yeah, your child is a twat. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, there you go.
Oh, dear. But you're right. It is so important for us to talk about those times and that's why this podcast exists. You know, it's kind of like let people know that whatever you're going through, you know, you're not on your own. And even as a single parent, there must be times where you feel so lonely. And in fact, actually having your own support network around you must, you know, that's such an important part of your life as well.
Yeah, I mean, somebody said this to me a couple of weeks ago. So, and they said, are you okay? You know, because you're alone. And I said, actually, I'm on my own. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And they're very different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It will take one hell of a man to especially in the gay world, because this kind of family, you know, I'm in a minority. Generally, when gay people have children, it's planned later on in a relationship.
Right.
It's very different to a traditional opposite sex relationship. So it'll take one hell of a man to join me and my kids.
Yeah.
And feel like they can stand up against us as a family unit. Because I would love to share my family unit and what I have with somebody. But he's yet to come knocking.
Yeah, it must be like that. That's got to be very tricky, thinking about when you meet someone, you have a family and mm-hmm. your children will always come first.
Yeah, I mean, and in the gay world, generally, gay men are carefree. You know, they can go to Spain at the drop of a hat. They can go to the theatre at the drop of a hat. Whereas I have to plan my life, you know, very far ahead around swimming lessons and gymnastics lessons, you know, all of those things. Or, you know, school report day, or, you know, I have to get, you know, PE kit ready, you know, all of those things. So it's very different in the straight world, because I guess sometimes, you know, life goes in different directions. People split up from their partners and they get together with, and they have blended families.
Yeah.
So they understand the needs of stepchildren and, you know, extended families. But a lot of men don't understand my situation or the needs and my priorities.
It is literally going from footloose and fancy free existence to something that is far more structured.
Yeah.
If you could write a letter on parenthood, who would it be to and what would you say?
Parenthood? Mm. Oh, wow. I'd probably write one to myself, I guess. I'm a different kind of dad. And I would say that the person that I grew up to be is because of many different things in my childhood. So I would say, don't be afraid to be you, because you are unique and there is nobody else like you. I'd say maybe be confident in your own skin, mm-hmm. because you have been told by so many people that you are not right, you're not normal, you're different. But different is beautiful. We're all different. My God, this is a really tough one, actually. I'd say don't pretend to like girls.
Did you for a while?
Yeah, I did, yeah, because I tried to convince myself that I did.
Right.
Yeah, so don't pretend to like girls to convince yourself that you may like them.
Yeah.
Because you won't. in that way.
Don't waste your time.
And I would say your parents will never be ashamed of you for being who you are.
Aww.
And pink isn't just for girls.
No, it's not. Pink is for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I teach my kids that. So actually, the other day, the cubby came home and he went, pink is for girls. So the next day, I wore pink on the school run. And suddenly it was all okay. And then again, Max came and he said, girls wear dresses. So, and that's why I made a point in our new video, I wore a skirt in the new video. Just because I wanted to represent a different part of the LGBTQI plus community. You know, why should clothes have a gender? I have an amazing platform where I can play dress up. Mm. I'm so privileged that I can fly the flag for people who can't.
Yeah. Do you think as well, the way that you parent, because you grew up knowing that you were different and not really knowing how, like, to accept that, do you think you parent with that in mind?
I don't raise my children as non-binary or genderless. No. I just let them decide what they want to do.
There
are no restrictions in our house or in our world. I notice those restrictions when they come home from school.
Right.
You know, with, you know, people that they talk to in the schoolyard. And I will try and correct that to make it very neutral. Like I say, anybody can wear a dress if they want to. You know, anybody can wear pink. You can wear nail varnish if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say I raise my children non-binary in any way, but I am genderless.
Yeah.
You know, anything goes.
But even in terms of, because you say, like, your parents, they're not ashamed of you. They absolutely love you. But you would have, as a child, worried about going to them with the fact that you were gay. And actually, for you, this is a thing that is so huge now across mm-hmm. the world. So they are growing up in a very different world to what you did.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a very different world. You know, yeah. It was a very different time back then. And I don't think my parents were equipped with the correct information, or they didn't have the armour needed to deal with, you know, what I was going through. Mm. I mean, I didn't voice, you know, that I was gay for many, many years. But like you say, luckily things have changed. And if my children come home and say, you know, that they're gay, they're bi, they are trans, it doesn't matter to me. They can be their perfect, unique self in any way.
Yeah. And there's beauty in that. So much beauty.
Totally. Absolutely. That's what we say about a step show. It's an open door policy. Mm. You can come and be your authentic self. You can live your best life. It doesn't matter how you identify, what gender you are, what sexuality, what colour, any disability. Come and be exactly who you are. There's a song that we have called Neon Blue, and it's the favourite lyrics that I have from any of our songs. And it's, come as you are because you're great and you don't have to change a thing. Mm. And that's what a step show is about. Yeah. I've got goosebumps thinking about that. I love that lyric.
Yeah. How has fatherhood changed you?
Oh my gosh. I think I see the beauty in the smallest things. You know, Cubby will come to me and he'll go, Daddy, that's a leaf. And I'm like, that is a leaf. You know, and you know, things like that. Or, you know, he will want to become a pirate, and he'll pick up a toilet roll and instantly he's a pirate looking through his, you know, his binoculars, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And I treasure those moments because they are things that you just take for completely for granted. You know, you become a child again. That inner child comes out because of your children. Mm. I love that.
And I finish each podcast episode with you finishing three sentences. So the first one is, being a dad means...
Oh my gosh. Let me go. Being a dad means I never knew what true love was before. I never knew that I could love so deeply with every fibre of my being. I've had relationships before where I've loved people, but never would I throw myself in front of a bus for them. Do you get that?
I get that. Absolutely.
Since... Is that all right? Was that
beautiful? That was beautiful. Since having children, I
see the beauty in things, and I treasure the little things in life. Making telescopes out of toilet rolls, you know, climbing a tree and yeah, becoming a, you know, Tarzan. Things like that, you know, things that cost no money at all, but memories that you treasure.
Yeah, and I'm happy when
my children are asleep.
That's okay.
I'm happy when all of my hard work is paying off.
Yeah. It's in those little comments, like you said, about those little comments of kindness and love and thoughtfulness. They just kind of make your heart sing.
My children make me want to be a better person. Mm. And I become that better person for my children, to, you know, to armour them, to give them praise, to drip feed positivity, you know, all of those things that are making them into the little people that they are.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. H, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.